Now today we have this great story of the, what's her name? Athaliah. Athaliah, who is this woman who begins taking over the whole of the royal kingdom in this way, slaughtering her own sons. You can think of her in the same way as, if you know English literature, that particularly of William Shakespeare, this is, in essence, you can think of Lady Macbeth. Lady Macbeth and what she does in order to destroy life that her husband might take over. He says all sorts of terrible things about her, how she has left femininity behind and actually taken on humanity. He says, how could any woman, this is speaking of Macbeth, ever have given nurse in this way, for she is too tough to be womanly in this way. And so she is. She's taking things into her own hands and actually placing herself so that she might be a priestess in this way, and to minister under her false gods and more freely institute the worship of false gods within Israel. And so this great evil taken into the people of Israel had to be expunged. And so they do. Jehadiah goes out, summons the captains and the guards in order to finally overthrow her for the wicked evil that she did in trying to institute her false gods, which hold up this false sense of femininity in this way. And so we should also think of it in the same way, that there has to be a rising up within our own culture right here to throw down those false gods of this false ideology and truly demonic ideology of the way in which this feminism goes, where it dethrones God from his rightful place and seeks to make a goddess out of femininity. They take these evil spirits, like they say the first wife of Adam, which is a false tradition, it's totally demonic in its way, of Lilith, where she herself is the one who is praised by the Wiccans and those who are witches and warlocks in this way of saying that she is somehow a goddess who does what is right in the eyes of feminism, which is to dethrone this relationship between Adam and Eve and to place herself as one who rejects the authority of God, and she somehow got away from it. But yet, that is not the case. That is not the case which is here. God has set up a rightly ordered thing. We're men and women to relate to one another, and he has set up his rightful priesthood in this way. And so it is all to be done in right order. Jehadiah is the one who casts off this evil and puts God right in his rightful place there. And so he is honored because of it. You have this small little passage here. And what our Lord is reminding us within the gospel is to make sure that we place our hearts on the things that truly last, the things that ultimately put God's way of ordering things in their right way. You and I should think of on the same way that later on in this month, we'll be having the feast of one of Fabian's favorite saints, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. He's one of the good Jesuits of back in the day, who was never a Jesuit priest, but was merely a Jesuit seminarian. He was never able to realize his vocation because the Lord chose to take him in his purity and innocence of heart there to restore him to himself. We have in the beautiful office that we pray for him, in dedication to him that day, of a letter that he writes to his mother when he's in the midst of an illness, saying, "Mom, don't grieve over me. Mom, you're so concerned with my flesh. You're so concerned with my earthly life. I'm going to God. And so if you were thinking rightly, you would rejoice in the fact that this illness will soon take me away, because I'm going to somebody who's greater. You provided for me so much within this life. Well, now God is taking me home. And that's what you wanted ultimately anyway, for me to be totally happy in the kingdom of heaven." I want to share with you something that he writes in his youth about this particular passage here, about what it means to have that true spiritual poverty that is necessary for us to really store up treasure in heaven. He says this, quoting St. Augustine, he says, "I wish to appeal to this idea of holy poverty that we should have by using the words of St. Augustine." He says, quote, "It is the great good fortune of the Christians that they make appeal to the price of the kingdom of heaven. Would you know how precious it is? It purchases heaven." That is, our holy poverty, it purchases heaven. "To what other treasures can be compared with that which holy poverty is endowed?" End quotation from St. Augustine. St. Aloysius continues, "Nevertheless, of what advantage would it be for us to collect such a huge treasure or bought a property in some distant region if we could not enter into the possession of it or to enjoy its fruits? Poverty enables you and I to do this. It removes from us every obstacle that might impede us from hastening into our native land and enjoying it, the treasure we have been laying up for in heaven. Our native land, which is heaven, in which we have placed all of our treasure, is that heavenly city of Jerusalem, to which Saint Bernard of Clairvaux testifies, quote, saying, 'The ascent is difficult, and for him who wishes to ascend to the greatest impediment is the weight of riches.' But how is that impediment removed? Our saint says it is removed by a holy embrace of the spirit of poverty." He continues on to say, "Neither does it merely remove the obstacles which impede our ascent into that holy place of heaven. It supplies with us the wings with which we are able to fly unto it. And these are the wings longed for by the prophet when he writes in Psalm 55, saying, 'Who will give me wings of the dove that I may find rest?' If therefore we wish to fly unto heaven, perishable things need to be cast aside. And these two wings of actual poverty and the poverty of spirit are to be assumed, on which we may be borne to the place where our treasure is, and there we shall enjoy it. The words of St. Aloysius Gonzaga, this holy youth, taken far too soon in your eyes and mine, especially that of his mother, from this life. And so you and I are to embrace, if we wish to really store up treasures in heaven, like our gospel proclaims, like our Lord invites you and I to do, to embrace a spirit of poverty, which is to realize that these things, which so often we think are so important, they're nothing. And in fact, they really hold you and I back. Because the more and more wealth we have, the more nervous we get about storing it up for ourselves. The more solicitous we are when a stock market rises or crashes, or inflation grows or decreases. We get so worried about all these things, and really, moth and rust do destroy them. Thieves can indeed break in and steal, even if those thieves are sometimes the government themselves. So we place our trust only in heaven, in heavenly things. Whereas these things decrease, you and I should say, blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man, just like we proclaimed at the beginning of this Mass. To realize that our hope cannot lie in these things which are so easily taken away and really have no matter to you and I to begin with, save that they should purchase you and I more securely a weight in heaven. So how do we purchase them with holy poverty? Holy poverty purchases them by letting go of these things. By living in the world, as St. Paul says, as though we are ones who do not live in the world, that possess things within this world as though we do not possess them. That go and buy and sell, as he says, as those who do not buy and do not sell. Thereby, we see the things that we have only as a means of conveyance, and nothing more. Paltry and unimportant. For the more we are released of these things, the more even sometimes, as somebody may defraud you and me of them, that they are doing you and I a favor of lifting our eyes to where our true happiness can only lie, which is in heaven. For what our Lord says here, when we foster a spirit of real poverty, as this Saint, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, reminds you and me, that where our treasure is, there our heart also will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.